Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with Sunbury Motors guarantee. Service department, whether it's routine, inspections, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Giancarlo Stanton goes deep.
So here is Giancarlo Stanton. He's been sitting on 349 home runs. High fly ball, right field. McKenna back, turning, looking. See ya! There it is! 350 home runs for Giancarlo Stanton and a 2-0 Yankee lead.
That has to be tremendous relief to get that milestone out of the way. The seventh fastest in Major League history to get to that mark. 350 career home runs.
Michael Kay, David Cohn, he's now 364 behind Babe Ruth. All right, so what? No? I kill you, don't I? Your guy is always great to talk with Jerry Dulac. Now, next time through, we're going to talk probably about the PGA. But this time, we'll talk about the draft. Jerry, welcome. Great to have you back, my friend.
Yeah, Steve, always good being with you. You made me chuckle with that line because, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, 350, that's nice, but that's nothing. 500 is the milestone, you know, not 350. And he only has a couple. He has to just do that again to sniff Babe Ruth. He has to have another Hall of Fame career just to even smell Babe Ruth.
Exactly. 364 to go, but that's okay.
Right.
It's a milestone. All right. So let's get to the. There's been. I get the sense this is about as unpredictable a total draft. I usually feel like the first seven or eight picks, you can pretty much be close as to who's going where. This time, I don't have that feel. Do you?
No, I agree with you, Steve. I not only think it's unpredictable, I actually think it's kind of dull. And
yes,
it's always dull when you don't have marquee quarterbacks, when you don't have, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or anybody like that, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Eli Manning, top 10 picks. Top five picks, number one picks overall. And this draft doesn't have that. And so when you don't have the marquee player at the most important position in the sport, then that right away makes it a little less interesting, if not a lot less interesting. So, yeah, I think it's both unpredictable, and I think it's just going to be a dull draft for the most part.
And I agree with it completely that it's going to be a dull draft. And I also think that for the weaker teams, they'll be better because of the player they pick for the most part, but it's not going to be franchise-changing for them. It's just going to make them better.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. And, of course, that's the thing with these quarterbacks. None of them are franchise quarterbacks. None of them are elite quarterbacks. They might be starting quarterbacks and winning quarterbacks, but that's like damning them with faint praise, to be perfectly honest. And none of these guys, there's only two of them who probably go in the first round. None of these guys merit a trade-up, and I think, it's just the mere fact that people are talking about that Malik Willis could be available to the Steelers at 20, Mike Tomlin loves the guy, tells you what the rest of the league, at least certainly more than half the league, thinks of the draft class, that a quarterback would drop the top quarterback, if he in fact he is, would drop to number 20. And, you know, this reminds me of the draft with E.J. Manuel. You know, that
yes.
There's just not that kind of player, that kind of quarterback in this draft. And I think that's why you saw a lot of maneuvering among quarterbacks during free agency. because, you know, this idea that it's an average class, Steve, I tell everybody that. That just didn't come out of the blue. That starts with the NFL people who know, you know, the value in terms of quarterbacks in this draft class. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see that to see them drop even more. But then the one thing I've learned a long time ago, Steve, in this league is it's a quarterback-starved league, and teams get desperate, and they're under pressure to find that next franchise quarterback. And then teams start reaching for a quarterback because of the pressure on them to take one. Do I think Carolina would take a quarterback at 6? No, but they need one. Do I think Seattle would take a quarterback at 9? No, but they need one. And I think the next team in line is going to be New Orleans at 16. I think it's 16, yeah, because it's Baltimore, Philly, and New Orleans. And I personally don't see it any higher than that, than 16. But then again, New Orleans has 2 picks. They have 18 as well, so it could be 18 when they draft a quarterback. And but if one goes early, we see this happen in other positions, but especially a quarterback. If one goes early, then there's going to be a mini run on quarterbacks in the first round. Not a big one, not 6 of them, but certainly 3 of them, and maybe 4 of them, although I doubt it. Otherwise, but all things being equal, I don't think more than 2 will be taken in the first round, Steve.
And I think what would change for some teams was the Russell Wilson factor when he was picked in the 3rd round, and the Seahawks had a quarterback on 3rd round money and invested in other places and got a Super Bowl. Everyone feels, right, I'll draft my quarterback, okay, we'll get him on the relative cheap for 3-4 years, and then we'll build around him and we'll win with that guy. And you and I know only a special guy can do that, but, you know, even a Trevor Lawrence couldn't do that.
You know, I'm a big Russell Wilson fan, and I have contended for years that if I could pick 1 minute to go, 50 seconds to go, and I could pick one quarterback to drive me 80 yards for the field goal or touchdown, I'd pick Russell Wilson, because he can hurt you so many ways, buying time in the pocket, running or throwing. And he's such a great deep ball, you know, those big moon shots he throws up there. He's a great deep ball thrower. But let's not forget, when Seattle won the Super Bowl and went again, they had an outstanding defense. And I'm not taking anything away from Russell Wilson.
Right.
But let's keep in mind that that defense won a lot of games for them. And as soon as that defense started to falter, we haven't seen the Seahawks and Russell Wilson do a whole lot.
Well, again, because they threw the money into the defense because they were saving money on him.
Right.
All right?
Absolutely.
That's how they made it work. And it's interesting, on Wilson, one quick note on him. He played against Penn State at Wisconsin. Jack Ham and I look at him and go, raving about him.
Right.
And I had voted Wilson the preseason player of the year. We have to do that, unfortunately.
Right.
And then,
right,
of course,
right,
I voted him postseason player of the year. When he got picked, phone rings. It's Jack. He said, Seattle just got the steal. I said, yep, they got the steal of the draft. So, I mean,
yep.
That's one we got right.
And Russell Wilson, he's one of those quarterbacks, you know, obviously he's not very tall. What is he, 6 foot if he's lucky, maybe 6'1"?
Yes.
But he
has
the intangible they're all looking for. And he's a winner. More importantly, he's a leader. And guys follow him. And you know, he's not a quitter. And so he has those intangibles that all these teams look for in a quarterback, and that's part of what makes him so good. I'm actually surprised, Steve, at how average his stats are for the most part during the season. His accuracy and everything, because when I watch him, he looks unstoppable. And then in other games, he'll be sacked 6 times. He'll throw a couple 3 picks, and I'll think, well, what the heck's going on with that team? Or what's going on with Russell Wilson? Because, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, same here. All right, so the Steelers are at 20. They sign Mitchell Trubisky. They've got Mason Rudolph. What do you think they should do? What should their options logically be at 20 that can make them a little bit better?
Well, to somewhat to your point, I believe that Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph are better than anything that's in that draft. The kind of X factor is what Malik Willis brings as an athlete, with his mobility and athleticism. But I say that, and speaking of height, the guy's barely taller than 6 foot. and he's 215. He's almost Kyler Murray's size, and after 2 years, you're seeing what Kyler Murray's agent wants to do. He wants to renegotiate and get a bigger contract because his guy is getting beat up, and he may not last to the end of his contract. And that, to me, is the problem that I would see with Malik Willis. He's just not a Steeler type of quarterback. If the Steelers would draft him, he'd be the shortest quarterback they've had on their roster since Scotty Campbell, and I think that was the late 80s. They just don't have guys like that. So I don't think anybody in the draft is better than what they have. And Steve, when you take a number one pick in today's NFL, he better come in and start. And if he doesn't start, he better be a major contributor. That's just the way of life in the NFL these days. And the Steelers have fallen in line with that. And they have other areas that they need to address. They're down to two wide receivers. So they're going to take a wide receiver, which is a deep class for wide receivers. They're going to take one by round two. Certainly by round three. By tomorrow night, they'll have a wide receiver. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's in round two, and I won't fall off the chair if it's round one. But the area they addressed offensive line in free agency, signed two guys on the outside, re-signed Chukwuemeka for. They spent, I think, $47 or $48 million or whatever the number was. No, it was more than that. It was 65 or 70 million on their offensive line in free agency. So they're not going offensive line number one. They addressed that. The one area they didn't address at all, area where they're getting old, the offensive line, they were young. They needed older, proven NFL guys. The defensive line is old. They need young guys. And to me, it's the area that I think they not only they should go because they need to replenish that line. Tyson Alualu is going to be 35 in 2 weeks. Cam's going to be 33 next week. Stephon Tuitt's going to be 29. He's played 21 games in 3 years. So it's kind of hard to sit there and rely on Stephon Tuitt. And after that, there's no young guy waiting in the wings like, oh, yeah, we got to get this guy in the lineup. They don't have that guy, and it's time to go get him. And to me, that's where they have to go. They really, really, really like Jordan Davis. How could you not? I don't know that he's going to be there. I still think Baltimore will take him at 14, maybe even the Eagles at 15. But if he pushes down far enough and the Steelers really like him that much, they don't have the draft capital to move very far. But if they have to only move a couple picks, I wouldn't rule that out. I'm not saying that they will. I don't have the intel that, oh, yeah, we will do that. But let me tell you, I know they really like him. And to me, that's where they should go. I'm just afraid, knowing how much Mike Tomlin likes Malik Willis, that if he's on the board at 20, I sit there, and to me, that's a wasted number one pick, Steve.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think a defensive lineman and Davis would be a great pick for them. And I still keep looking at that Ja'Marr Chase pick by Cincinnati last year. And I know and they addressed the offensive line in free agency, as you said. And these guys may be gone. But if Wilson, Olave, Dotson, if they're sitting there, that changes, I think, the life of Trubisky or Rudolph, I think, in a positive way, because it'll give them a guy that can really can stretch the field.
Well, let me say this, despite the fact you're showing your Big Ten bias.
Yes, I
don't agree with you. I don't think Garrett Wilson will still be available. But to your point,
agreed.
Steve, I learned this a long time ago too from the Steelers. They never turn their back on a skilled player, even if they have like wide receivers. If there is a one they really like and have a grade on, guess what? They'll take them. And so that's why if they take a wide receiver, if one of those guys or some of the other guys, I don't think a Drake London or what. I don't think they want that kind of guy. But I think they want maybe a Jameson Williams type of guy, a Jahan Dotson. He's a little small, but even Olave, those kinds of guys. Believe me, it won't surprise me at all because they need wide receivers, and they're going to take one, and like I said, best I can tell, by the second round and certainly by the second day because they only have two, and they have to get two more who can play, and they will definitely go for a wide receiver.
Jerry, are you amazed how the draft takes on a life of its own? I mean, you think about the way you and I would look at it, and like, I remember Pete Rozelle said to ESPN, all they're doing is handing us cards and I'm reading it. You want to televise it?
Right, and yet here it is, probably as much watched programming as ESPN, you know, puts on the air. You know, Steve, I always say this. The Combine is the NFL Network's number one most viewed programming all year. That's the Combine. And a lot of that is fantasy football. These people who think they're general managers, you know, they start watching and they want to get an early line, and then it's the same deal. They are fascinated with the drafts. That's why all these mock drafts pop up all the time. People would do one mock draft a week out. Now they're doing three, four, and five months out. And it's because, you know why? Because people click on them and they read them because they're fascinated with it. And, there's no question the NFL draft has taken on a extreme life of its own. Look, the first round is always anxiety field and entertaining, and it, you know, there's some nice kind of quote gripping drama, if you will. Now after that, it is a big come down. But that first round of the draft, everybody has such anticipation and curiosity and anxiousness over, okay, what guy is my team going to pick now? This guy's gone, that guy's gone, this guy's available, that guy's available. And the intrigue is just, it's riveting to the fans of each of these teams. And you multiply that by 32, and then your periphery sports fan, it's out of control.
It is. It really is. Awesome, as always. I think the next time we'll talk Southern Hills. How about that?
There you go. And you know, that's right up my alley. And so... I talk draft and I talk golf, and I do it very easily.
Yeah, my friend, you do everything easily. Thank you so much.
Steve, always good being with you, my friend. Stay well.
Jerry Dulac, Steelers Network, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I think he just encapsulated you.
that was pretty accurate, actually.
Now, if the Eagles were to get Jordan Davis, that would be a big-time pick. I was kidding you the other day about him running out. That's the only thing I worry about him is the NFL is really a four-quarter game. In other words, when he was at Georgia, for the most part, see, it showed in the SEC championship game, Georgia was winning games easily. And so he was out of games in the fourth quarter, and against Alabama, he had to play more plays. You know, the NFL's a 45-player league. Now, I know Aaron Donald gets some breaks once in a while with the Rams, so they do rotate linemen. He'd be great in a rotation, and he'd really be good for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think that's exactly why I wouldn't mind the Eagles still taking him, but there's still some concern there with him. But I was talking
You didn't like my first three picks?
No.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
It would ruin your night.
Now, I do know he did drop 20 pounds.
Mark wouldn't be the only one.
No.
This would be disastrous for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Who do you want them to take?
I'm open to a lot of different guys, so...
Just not the guys I mentioned?
No, absolutely not. I would say these would be my top guys. Jameson Williams, Thibodeau, if they were to trade up.
They're both gone by the time you get there.
Yeah, only if they were to trade up, exactly.
Right.
But if they're there at 15, Olave, Dotson, Lloyd, Linderbaum, Brisker, Hamilton... Any of those guys would make me happy.
Linderbaum might be there. Dotson might be there. Olave will be close. Williams will be gone. Thibodeau will be gone. This is if they stay in the same spot. Were they 15 and 17?
They're 15 and 18 right now.
15 and 18. Hamilton, I think, might be gone by the time they get to him.
That's borderline, too.
I think.
Because
that's close.
In Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft today, he went to the Eagles.
Hamilton did?
Yeah.
Hamilton would help him out. It'd be a good pick. You know, it's interesting. Obviously, I watched little bits and pieces of Notre Dame football, but just little bits and pieces. the fans see more of these games than we do. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll be doing a game, especially if it's a road game. You go in, you kind of catch a little bit, you know, as you're doing the pregame show, and, you know, I have to record something, so you're really, you know, sort of paying, you know, like half attention, whatever. And then you do your game, and then when your game's over, you're doing your postgame show, and boom, you're going out, and you're trying to get to the bus in time. And I don't see as many, you know, like the, a fan could probably give me a greater rundown on Kyle Hamilton than I can. Because they've probably seen him more on TV than I have.
I loved watching him play with Notre Dame. I think he's going to be an instant impact.
I mean, who did we have on the other day about the draft? They were talking about, we were talking about Brisker. It was Ryan Roberts, I think. And he said, you know, he loves Hamilton. He thinks Brisker is the second guy behind him, which is high praise because a lot of people think Hamilton's terrific. I just didn't see a lot of him. It just depends on when the games, what time the games are played and when Penn State plays. It's sad. I mean, isn't that interesting? And then when the guys Penn State sees or plays against, yeah, I'm watching video during the week to get ready for the game, so obviously I see like several games of them playing. But if they're not playing them, I've got a loose idea about how good or, you know. Now with Jordan Davis's case, I'm talking about the SEC title game. Well, I watched the entire game. Penn State wasn't playing that day. They had a basketball game the next day. So I watched it. Like, oh, okay. So I got a better look at him. But, and more and more of these top players are opting out of bowl games, so you don't get a chance to see them there either. All right. Back in a moment. We're going to go to Vegas. John Clark. By the time the John Clark segment is over with, Matt will be a basket case.
We'll see what we hear from. Then we'll determine that.
No, I'm pretty confident you will be. Because you panic about everything. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. And not only that, a fabulous service department to back it all up. Routine inspections, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's go out to Las Vegas. John Clark is out there from NBC Sports Philly. John, welcome. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Hope you guys are good.
All right, so Las Vegas is used to hosting big events. What's Las Vegas like on this particular day?
Oh, it's a madhouse. You got lots of people running around in the streets, a lot of people up late at night, and there's a good vibe here today. I mean, the draft was, you know, 4 hours and counting away, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of fans already up on the stage or right in front of the stage area. So they can see who their team drafts. And there's a lot of Eagles fans here today. I do see a lot of Steelers fans all over the place. So this is something that people travel to. And when it's a place like Vegas, they're like, hey, let's get on that trip.
Exactly. Plus, what are they, they're going to bring the picks across, some of them across the fountains of the Bellagio, the water in front of the Bellagio. Is that right?
You know what? That's where the red carpet is. So that's where they all arrive. But I think when they're drafted, they're going to be at another outdoor stage where I'm at right now at the NFL Experience here. And then there's a big, huge Caesars Forum where they're going to bring the draft picks after that. So there's a lot of moving around for the draft picks, and it's not easy to get around in Vegas. But it's a good setup. It's going to be the draft experience here is great. Not as good as Philly's was, but this is pretty darn good.
Right. Well, the one in Philly was was unbelievable, I thought, in terms of the atmosphere of that. Howie Roseman balanced out his next two drafts by going two first this year, two first next year, by making the deal that he did. All right, so now they're sitting there currently in 15 and 18. So what's your sense about what they can do with those picks?
Well, look, I mean, since Howie Roseman took over fully in charge again after Chip Kelly left, he's had six drafts, and in three of those, he moved up in the first round to get the guy they wanted, Carson Wentz, Andre Dillard, and Devontae Smith last year. And then one of those, he traded out of the first round. They wound up getting Dallas Goedert. And twice he stayed put. My guess is, I think he's working the phones, and he's already got deals in place to move up from 15 to 12, 11, somewhere around there, if there's a guy there that is still maybe dropped a little bit, or a guy that they really want is still there. I think they'll go get him. If you're talking about the receiver from Alabama, Jameson Williams, pairing him with Devontae Smith, I talked with him yesterday. He loved his meeting with the Eagles, and the Eagles told him they want to pair him with Devontae Smith, so that's a possibility. I think Kayvon Thibodeau, if he falls a little bit, that's a possibility for them to trade up and get a guy. So I do think there are guys like that that they will trade up to get. And then 18, I think there's a possibility that they trade back a little bit if they don't have a guy there that they are in love with, because they say that once you get past 20, a lot of the guys are very similar in talent. So if there's a guy they love, I think they draft him there at 18, maybe a cornerback, defensive line, or receiver. But I do think there's a possibility they trade up with their first pick and then trade back a little bit with their second pick.
Interesting. Interesting that they would do that and think about that. So you're looking at, again, another wide out, and Williamson can be exceptional. I'm sitting back, John. I'm thinking back to doing, you know, the Penn State Ohio State games that I've broadcast over the years, and they had Williamson. Williams was on the same team with Wilson and Olave. I'm thinking, what the heck? They were all together
amazing.
At one point. It is amazing. It is amazing. The secondary. What about getting secondary help? Is there enough depth in this draft where it doesn't have to be tonight, but they can address the secondary?
Well, look, I think at pick 18, they could definitely take a corner. The guys that I've interviewed yesterday, Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis, they study the draft and everything. They like Booth. So I think there is a possibility that they get a corner at 18. I think 15 would be more about moving up to get
right.
a receiver or a defensive lineman, an edge rusher. You know, I know they want an edge rusher. So, look, I think they either get a defensive lineman and receiver or yep. an edge rusher, corner, receiver. I think they're getting two of those three. Because if you look at the Eagles' history, they either draft offensive lineman, defensive lineman, quarterback, or receiver in the first round. Last time they drafted a cornerback, Lito Shepherd 20 years ago. I can't even tell you the last time they drafted a safety in the first round. Linebacker, it's been since 1979. So, look, they have their beliefs about the premier positions in the NFL, and that's why I'm banking on D-line, receiver, or corner.
That's because, John, you know, there's maybe 1,200 mock drafts out there. All right, so we'll preface it with that. One of them did have Kyle Hamilton as a possibility from Notre Dame. And again, he's a safety. Safeties aren't usually picked in that in the first 20. What would you think if they got Hamilton?
I think it'd be fantastic, but I think he's going to be gone. I mean, I think
I
think he's a top 10 pick. So I think he'll be gone. But I got to tell you, I mean, you know, I think they value the lines and then who the quarterback throws the ball to and then who's defending the pass. So, you know, I'm just banking on D-line, receiver, or corner. I could be completely wrong, but I think those are going to be the positions they go for in the first round. I think they could get a safety in the second round. They absolutely need a safety. Absolutely. They need a playmaker at every level of their defense, but I think they go after the premier positions with their first couple picks.
Right. There's some school of thought that this, because of the lack of marquee quarterbacks, like a year ago you had Lawrence first, you had Wilson going second, plus you had some others that were going to go. there isn't that kind of quarterback draft, and thus it's not quite a sexy draft. Do you feel like it's a functional draft, though, where teams can make themselves better, even though they aren't the, quote, sexiest picks out there?
Well, look, I mean, if the Eagles were desperately needing a quarterback, this would not be a good spot. But I think they believe they're going to give Jalen Hurts the chance to be the guy. Yeah. And if he's not the guy, then next year you can get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, who are going to probably go, you know, in the top four picks. So, this talent pool is less than years past. But they're also looking at next year. I think the Eagles, they're not looking at just this draft. They're also looking at next year together, like you said. So they can get a quarterback next year. They have the flexibility to do that with those two first-round picks.
Exactly.
And then there's going to be more talent next year as well.
Yeah, they balanced it out, and which is terrific. You've been able to talk to some of the draft experts. Have you been able to get talk to anybody associated with the Eagles? Because that's usually a tougher task, but you have great connections too. So,
well, I was not at their draft availability. I was sick that day, and they don't allow you to come to work if you have any symptoms.
You.
So. Yeah. So I wanted to stay away from everybody. So, no, I have not talked to them, but just past experience. You know, Howie likes to move. He doesn't like to stay put. If he sees a guy that they really want and he's 3-4 picks away, like last year, they wanted Devontae Smith, and they knew they had to leap over the Giants to get him. And so they worked a trade with the devil, the Cowboys, to do that. So, you know, they're not going to sit still. If there's a guy that they want, and they got to move up 2, 3, 4 spots, they're going to go get them. And that is their MO. So I do think that they really like some of these receivers. And I don't think it matters that this is the third straight year they could possibly draft the receiver. I don't think it matters. You just got to get it right. And the thing with that is all these receivers on the free agent market who got the huge money, the Eagles, they couldn't get involved with that. They didn't want to get involved with that. So I think this is a way to keep their costs down. If you're able to have Devontae Smith and Jameson Williams as your receivers for the next 4 or 5 years under rookie deals, that is unbelievable. So, you know, I think they can get great value drafting young receivers.
Well, got to get it right. That, right, got to get it right. But, I mean, for example, Olave might be there, right?
Yeah, Olave, I think they like him too, yeah.
Olave can play right away. Williams can't play right away. I mean, let's be honest. Williams can't play right away.
Yeah, but I don't think that matters. I mean, looking at this as
right. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you, John. I'm just pointing out to the fans, like, just keep that in the back of your mind that it could be midseason before you get him. Olave can play right away. Dotson can play right away. There's a lot of options they have out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a crazy night. Nobody knows, you know, what's going to happen after the first two.
Let me ask you, so you're going in now and you don't know who they're going to pick and how it's going to turn out. So how are you going to cover this tonight? Well, you know, what kind of, quote, game plan do you have, John, about covering it?
Oh, I'm just going to sit back like everybody else here in Vegas and watch it happen and then just get prepared for the Eagles picks and then have a fun time interviewing these young guys and watching them have their dreams come true. It's really one of the great things to see, just how excited they are. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to be like you tonight, just watching this draft and see how it unfolds and be ready.
John, it's really cool you're there. They couldn't send out anybody better. It's awesome. So thanks so much for your time. I'll let you get back to work and enjoy another great experience of covering the draft.
I appreciate it, and if everybody is able to get NBC 10 in Philadelphia, we're going to have our draft special tonight at 7 o'clock. We've got some exclusive interviews with guys, and I interviewed a couple of the potential draft picks out here, and Howie Roseman sits down with us. So got a lot of stuff on NBC 10 at 7 o'clock if you're able to tune in.
That is awesome. Thanks so much for telling us all about that, John. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Take care.
John Clark, NBC Philly. Matt now is in full official panic mode. All right, we will, again, none of the names. You put out a list of names. The problem is you sent me the list of names you sent me. Like, several of these guys aren't even eligible to be drafted. All right, we'll come back with more of my name. I told you, don't go to the suits desk. There's all sorts of stuff in there that makes no sense.
I learned that after today.
Whew.
Did you see the picture?
Not yet, but I can only imagine.
Maybe.
Mertzi was in there with two other people. Honest to goodness, it looked like an FBI raid. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
I get a sense you did not like my he's still 364 home runs behind Babe Ruth.
No, I saw that coming.
No, you didn't. You didn't think I'd do that. You want a milestone. Yeah, okay, well, that's great. You're 364 home runs behind Babe Ruth, all right? That's like, okay, that's a lifetime. I mean, I realize it's, you know. I mean, that is, I don't know. Is that really a milestone for him, too? I have no idea. 350 home runs? Really? That's great. But.
I actually thought he had more than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, Matt, he's missed so much time.
Exactly. It's
that,
yeah.
The problem that both he and Aaron Judge have is quite simple. They both have, over their careers, missed a lot of games. And that's why they're the spot that they're in. All right, so the draft is tonight. Eagles have two picks, 15-18. I do like, by the way, the Giants are not going to exercise their fifth-year option on Daniel Jones. The idea is this, that Brian Daboll gets a chance to coach him. If he likes him, they can always franchise him next year. So they still have control of the situation, but they don't want to offer him pick up the fifth-year option now. They don't want to do that, and I don't blame them, because that'll be a situation where if the Giants are sitting there, and Daboll loves him, they can franchise him. If Daboll goes through the season and looks around and goes, man, this is not working, he is not the right guy, the Giants will be in that position to think about Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and people like that next year. And don't have to worry about a fifth-year option. So they didn't pick up Daniel Jones's fifth-year option. I wonder if the Eagles would do that with Jalen Reagor. No?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Tiger Woods looks like he's going to play in the PGA Championship. You are bitter.
It's just like, enough. He's there. Okay, cool. Wait until he puts his name on the dotted line to play. Okay. Now that I've actually seen him play a full tournament and make it through, then yeah, that's news. But I don't give a wadola right now about that.
Because you're worried that you're going to lose again tonight to the Raptors.
No, it's just because I hate Tiger, and I've thoroughly admitted that.
I mean, maybe if you went with intensely dislike. You don't want to promote hate to the youngsters. Little Luke, little Mark. I hate Tiger Woods. Luke. Where did you get that from?
Daddy. I hate my toys.
Where'd you get that from? Daddy. How about intensely dislike?
Okay.
Not enamored with.
Sure, I'll try.
You'd prefer Tommy Armour III win the tournament. How about that? No? Phillies beat Colorado today, 7-1, by the way. Did so on four whopping hits. Four hits. Nobody, you know, with the cold weather, nobody's hitting right now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed with my guys in pinstripes, definitely. But yeah, that's just how it is in April. I mean, especially this April. Sheesh.
It's been worse. This has been worse. But yeah, Wheeler started, won it. He's now 1-3, one hit through six innings.
Although the Phillies scored, what, 32 runs, I think, in all four of these games on 36 hits. So, I mean, they still hit the ball well in this entire series, just not this game.
They got four hits today. Alec Bohn homered off of old State College spike Austin Gomber. So Gomber pitched today. Gomber's a nice guy. I like him. Bohn homered off of him. Let's see. Harper knocked in a run. Segura knocked in a run. Castellanos knocked in a run. The Phillies were 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position and won the game 7-1. The Rockies actually outhit them 5-4. Wow. Recap, four-game sweep. See, Roman Quinn bunted for a hit. Stole second, stole third, scored on Reese Hoskins' sacrifice fly. Roman Quinn's the fastest guy I ever saw play in the New York Penn League. Like, I mean, totally disruptive, kind of like the guy in the corner office.